epistle lesson today is from Acts 16. Friends, hear this story of the Apostle Paul. One day as we were going to a place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and all of us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God, and they proclaim to you a way of salvation." And she kept doing this for many days. And Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out of her. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them to the marketplace in front of the authorities, and when they brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews. They are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." And the crowd joined in and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely in the innermost cell with their feet fastened in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening, and suddenly there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken and all the doors were opened. Everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that they had escaped. But Paul said in a loud voice, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down before Paul and Silas and said, "What must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all in his house. And at that same hour of the night, he took them, washed their wounds, and their entire family was baptized without delay. He brought them into his house, set food before them, and he and his entire house rejoiced that they had become believers in God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us. Be in our hearts and minds, be in our lives, Lord. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. When I was reading the passage this week, I was struck by the concept of freedom. Like, who is really free in this passage at the beginning of the story and at the end of the story? And who gives that freedom? Let's start with that girl with the spirit of divination, owned by men who are making money from her fortune telling, and she's strangely shouting, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim a way of salvation." This woman is struggling with two kinds of bondage and chains. She's a slave to her owners who are making money, and she has this spirit inside of her. She is not free when the story begins. Paul and Silas, they start out free, but after Paul casts out this spirit, they're arrested, beaten, thrown into prison. They are not free. But there's another character who's not really free either. What about the jailer? He is so stuck in working in that prison and in the Roman customs, which say you must kill yourself in a situation like this, that he is really not free. Thankfully, the story doesn't end there. We see him, Paul, cast out the spirit who's been acknowledging the presence of God. We see this earthquake break open the foundations of the prison, release everyone from their chains, all while Paul and Silas are praising God all night. They're having church while in chains. And the jailer, after hearing this worship, after witnessing this earthquake, and learning that they did not escape, he asks, "What must I do to be saved?" Did you notice that there's any kind of common thread in these stories of chains? The girl is proclaiming the name of God. Paul and Silas are praying and singing in prison, and the jailer is asking, what does it take to be saved? All of these people are turning to God. And all of them, in one way or another, are acknowledging God, praising God. What if in and through that praise they are set free? Which got me thinking, what is it that holds us captive today? Where are we not free? What are the chains that are around our hearts, our minds, even our physical bodies? How can we turn that imprisonment over to God? And how can we praise God even in our hard situations? What are the chains in your life today? Are you struggling with an addiction, some kind of seeming uncontrollable desire to put something into your heart, mind, or body that is harmful? Are you struggling with bitterness or anger, this feeling that you cannot let go of the past hurt or abuse, that you need to seek revenge so that others hurt as you hurt? Are you struggling with jealousy? Are you overcome by what other people have that you do not have, thinking that others have it better? Are you struggling with depression? Are you overwhelmed with sorrow, sadness, grief, or loss, and struggling maybe to just get out of bed in the morning? Or are you overcome by worry or fear? Do you always think of the what ifs in life? What if this happens? What if that happens? Do you worry about not just today, but also tomorrow? Are you afraid of things that you don't have any control over? Think about what it is for you. Where are your chains? Where is the bondage in your life, in your heart? How are you stuck in a prison? And what if you can have freedom from all of it? Isn't our God a God of freedom? Isn't that one of the characteristics of our God? What is the most pivotal story in the Old Testament that everything else hinges on? It is the Exodus. It is God freeing the people from slavery in Egypt. And if you keep reading the whole Old Testament, you'll see God reminding them of that again and again and again. And then we have the prophets. They talk about a Messiah coming. A prince of peace, someone who will set people free. In fact, at the birth of Jesus, angels pronounce the peace on earth. And Simeon and Anna, the prophets that are in the temple, when they bring the baby Jesus there, they are speaking about the salvation and freedom that the Messiah will bring. And Jesus' very first sermon in his hometown of Nazareth, he says this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free. And of course, we have the sacrifice on the cross, setting us free from sin. Our God is a God of freedom. Freedom from slavery, freedom from anything that holds us captive. God is a God of freedom. Jesus is a Savior who brings freedom. The Holy Spirit, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit for a few weeks. The Holy Spirit is our advocate, our helper, our counselor, our comforter, and all that brings freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So how do we find it? How do we find this freedom that is promised to us by our loving God? What if it's like finding the peace of Christ that we talked about last week? Last week we talked about the peace of Christ being something that you can't create, you can't reach out and grab. Instead, you let go of everything else and you receive it. You receive it as a gift from God. What if freedom is the same way? What if it's a gift that we receive when we let go of our tight grip on our lives and the things that are chains around our hearts. You know, I've always had respect for the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. They're so wise, they're so scriptural when you examine them. The first three steps are amazing. We admit that we are powerless over our addiction and our lives have become unmanageable. The second one is we come to believe in a power greater than ourselves that can restore us to sanity. And the third is we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. All that we find in Scripture. All that is about letting go of the things that bind us so we can receive God's help. What if every single one of us took those steps to heart? What if we did admit to God and to one another that there are things that we cannot control in our lives? It is unmanageable. We need God's help. What if we believed that God is the only one who could bring us sanity and we decided to turn our whole lives over to God? That sounds an awful lot like a pathway to freedom, doesn't it? But there's even more for us as Christians. Because our God is this God of freedom, we always have a reason to praise God. No matter what is going on, our God doesn't change. And if our God is a God of freedom, we always have a reason and an opportunity to praise God, to count our blessings. Even if we're stuck in a prison cell, it's really not crazy that they were singing and praying to God when faced with this severe trial, because that is the choice we are all faced with whenever we are in a prison of any kind. We have a choice. We can choose to focus on the bad. We can whine, we can complain about everything that is going wrong. Or we can focus on the good, the blessings, and the promises of God, even when we cannot see them, even when they seem far away. In the Bible, that's actually the definition of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. What if praising God is our path to freedom? It sounds pretty simple when I explain it to the kids, and I know it's far more complicated for adults. We've lived much more life, and so it's not always easy to just count your blessings and sing Jesus loves me, right? Most of us have experienced too much of life's hardships. I've been reading a great book called Healing the Invisible Wounds of Trauma by Kristen Krueger, and she is a survivor of the Columbine High School massacre in 1999, the beginning of what would become the most sickening trend in America, mass shootings. And she writes about how she recovers from that trauma and how everything else bad in her life compounded that trauma from high school. She says that over the course of a lifetime, if you were to look at everyone from birth until their death, about 60% of people have experienced some kind of trauma. Most of us have not survived a mass shooting, but many of us have survived something else traumatic. Maybe physical abuse. Maybe sexual assault, maybe the loss of a child, maybe the aftermath of violence, storms, natural disasters, a horrible crime. Trauma comes in all forms and fashions, and it can hold us hostage. It can be like a chain between us and the pain and the past. And no matter what the chains are, we all need to be set free, don't we? Don't we all want to be set free? And I know when I suggest that we let go, when I say we should count our blessings and praise God, some of you might be thinking, are you kidding? Don't you know what I've been through? I hear you. And so does God. In fact, the scriptures say that God grieves when we grieve, that God mourns when we mourn. You reread the Psalms, you'll find in Psalm 56:8 a promise that says this: "You, O God, have kept count of all my exiles. You have put my tears in your bottle. They are in your record." In other words, God knows every time that we have ever been hurt or left out or abandoned. And God has counted and stored our tears in a bottle. Have you ever thought about that image, that God cares about our every single tear? And it is the same God who wants freedom for us. Healing and finding freedom is easier said than done. Sometimes it's an uphill battle. Sometimes it feels like you take 3 steps forward and then 2 steps back. And it's not always easy to count our blessings or praise God. Sometimes we have to get away from a really bad situation, a really bad relationship. God doesn't want us to stay in abusive relationships. And often we need help. We need wise counsel of other Christians or therapists or psychologists or psychiatrists that God can use, that the Holy Spirit can move in to help us find freedom. And at first, the first thing we have to do is we have to just be honest about whatever the chains are, our pain, our addiction, our worry. When we are honest, we can honestly thank God for good gifts, even in our pain. I was remembering something that happened. Every Thursday, I go to a lectionary Bible study in Tulsa. And there's just 5 of us, and we meet together and talk about the scriptures for the upcoming weeks. And I was remembering when 2 of us were going through a really difficult time. And the following Thursday, our friend Bill brought this bag of old dishes from Goodwill and suggested that we should take out our anger and frustration by just breaking them in his office. It sounds crazy, but we did it, and it feels awesome. I believe that sometimes we need to break some dishes. I had a friend in college who did this as stress relief, but she's a neatnik, and so she put them in a nice bag and broke them in the bag, so not to make a mess. I believe sometimes we need to break dishes or scream into a pillow or cry our eyes out so we can be healthy, so that God can help us by setting us free. Strangely, when we honestly admit that we're powerless, that's when a dam breaks and we find freedom. Because after we broke those dishes, we laughed so hard because we'd let go of some of the pain. And then we talked about the little rays of light that God was bringing into bad situations. We talked about our blessings. We praised God for accepting us just where we are. In my favorite devotional, Streams in the Desert, on May 26, I read the most amazing thing about the Israelites when they were wandering in the wilderness. They came to a place and they were thirsty. They needed water and there was no water to be found. And you know what they did? In Numbers 21, it said, they stopped and they sang a song to God. They stopped and praised God, and what happened? Water started springing up. Their praise led to their freedom from thirst. What if the same thing is true? Our praise, what if it breaks open a river of blessings flowing around us? So even when our circumstances are hard, by singing and praying and praising God, what if we break open the way to freedom? What if we all counted our blessings? What if we took time out of our pain to praise and thank God? What would that even look like for you this week? What does it look like for you today? Today, during the offertory, is one of my all-time favorite songs. And it's a song that the kids will also sing during Vacation Bible School, and we'll get to sing next week. And it's a song really about surrender, called Come to Jesus. Friends, I encourage you to hear the good news of the gospel and God's word to us today. God wants us to be free. God wants us to surrender. And God wants us to praise and give thanks and open that river of blessings. So let's do it. Let's praise God no matter what. And to that, all God's people said, Amen. Friends, please stand and let us affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed on page 35 of your hymnal.